you all like to say good evening again. So grateful to stand before you all and proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have had an awesome day. Have truly enjoyed myself with the family here. Had a great meal, great fellowship, and hopefully we can close it out with a lesson that may be able to touch the heart of the listeners. I want to teach this in a manner that hopefully it can affect you. And so I'm going to try to do that this afternoon here. I want you all to turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse number, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. You all, I started out with young people. I started out teaching young people. That's how I really got my start. And it does my heart joy to see my young men up here sitting and looking through the book and trying to follow the scriptures. Man, that's awesome. I hope y'all don't ever give that up. And listen, I want to give you two something because I want y'all to stay on the path for me, okay? I want y'all to stay on the path for me because that is commendable when we got young men that's going to keep, amen, put it in your pocket. When we got young men that's going to do the will of the Lord and they are looking through the song book, they're looking on the song leader's leg to see what he's going through. Man, that's awesome. And we don't want to lose that. And that really ties into my lesson. My brother has already read the text for me. The title of this lesson is A Great Task for a Small Group. A Great Task for a Small Group. I want y'all to look around. It looks a little thin than it was this morning, right? Because normally during the evening, the core of the church, that's who keeps the church going, is the ones who really comes in the evening. That is the core of God's family. And see, when you look at Acts chapter 8, I mean 1, I'm sorry, and start at verse number 4 through 8, you see Jesus is giving the apostles instructions. But you only see 10 guys. There's only 10 guys there as he's giving these instructions because Judas have hung himself. They hadn't chosen Matthias yet, so it's only 10 folks. Jesus getting ready to give the gospel into the hand of 10 men. And say, hey, I want you to start at Jerusalem, Judea, and I want you to go to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Sometimes, you all, we don't realize how much a task we put on one another because we fail to stay the course. What I want to do is take you back where this started from. See, this is the ending of this point right here that you see these 10 guys, but it didn't start out like this. Amen. To really see how this thing started out, let's go to the book of Luke, the chapter is 10. Amen. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I want you all to see something here. In Luke chapter 10, the Bible says in verse number 1, Luke 10 and 1. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. Some of the manuscripts say 72. And some say 70, some say 72. But if you notice in Acts chapter 1, we're down to 10. What happened to the 70 or the 72? Amen. When you look at this, the Bible says, and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself has not gone. Why did Jesus send them to places where he hadn't been himself? See, he's preparing these men for something. You all, sometimes we want glory. We don't want righteousness. We want glory. We don't want righteousness. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm sending you out to places that I have not been, so you can't say it's my influence that's going to cause what you're going to receive. Amen. Watch what he goes on and says here. And he was saying to them, The harvest is plentiful. There's a great task. There's a lot of work. Amen. He says, but the laborers are few. Wait a minute. Jesus, give these brethren the instructions. Listen, I'm going to send y'all out. But man, that's a great work to do. But there's only a few people to do it. We have that same mindset today. We know that there's a great work to do, but we don't care about the work. If there ain't no glory in it for me, I stop working. Amen. If it ain't no glory in it for me, I stop working. Listen to what he goes on and says here. He says, therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Wait a minute, Brother Tommy. Jesus is sending them out, but he says, beseech that the Lord send the laborers out. What is Jesus saying? I'm sending you out because you claim you want to follow me, but do you really want to follow me? Because if you're going to follow me, you're going to follow me all the way to the cross. And as I come out the grave, you're going to be there when I come out the grave and be ready for instructions. If not, I didn't send you. Even though I sent you, I didn't send you. Did you all get that? Amen, brother. I didn't send you out. He said, pray that the Lord send you out. Why is this? Where are you going with this, Brother Sean? I want you to see the beauty of something when we get excited for the wrong reasons. When we get excited for the wrong reasons. Let's keep going for a few minutes more. He said, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. He says, go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. He's telling them it's going to be some folks that's going to try to tear you up. So you're getting this before you go out. But yet you go out anyway. So you're willing to take this task because you think it's something in it for you. I made this statement at Tyler Town. Don't follow God because you're trying to go to heaven. Follow God because how much he loves you. People say, they say, man, I pondered that for the longest when you said that, Brother Sean. See, Paul said, that we seal with the Holy Spirit. If we just stay with God, we're not going to lose our salvation. Notice what I just said now. If we, it's a condition. If we stay with God, I'm not going to lose my salvation. So are you coming here now not to go to hell? Or are you coming here because you love the Lord? See, if you're coming here because you love the Lord, then you got a different purpose. You're not going to let this great task fall on a few hands. Amen. You're not going to let this great task fall on a few hands because you understand that I have a talent too. Everybody in here have a talent. I don't care if it's not but one. You got one. What are you doing with that talent? Amen. Watch what Jesus tells them. He go on and says, carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter first, say peace be to this house. If a man or peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house. Listen, it says eat and drink what they give you. For the laborer is worthy of his wage. Do not keep moving from house to house. Jesus said, listen. Get to the people that want the word. The ones that want the word, don't leave them yet. Make sure you fully invest in them so they can obey the gospel. Don't keep going house to house when you haven't converted this house that wants the word. When you go somewhere, when we go in fellowship, how many of us eat what's there? Or do we start complaining about the food? How many of us, when we have fellowship, where's the dessert, brother? Amen. I tell Tyler Town, you all act like we grew up eating stuff that matched. Amen. If you grew up in my era or before my era, you didn't grow up with stuff matching. Mama made it matched. Grandmama made it matched, but it didn't match. And if you got a dessert, you looking around for who coming. Amen. We got banana pudding. We trying to figure out how many coming. Since it's banana pudding day. Since it's Jell-O, how many folks coming? Amen. The Bible says, eat that which is put before you. Now, you all got enough of the beginning of this story. Let me show them coming back from their journey. And let's see the look, well, we can't see the look, but I want you to picture the look. I want you to picture them skipping and, man, did you see that? I want you to see them talking. Watch this, family. I want you to see it now. The Bible says, still in chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, or sir, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Wait a minute, they come back, man, did you see I raised that guy? Did you see, you do nothing, I cast a demon right out of here. You see them coming back talking about this. Then they get to Jesus and say, Lord, man, even the demons are subject to us, man. We bad. We bad, Jesus. I love how God operates. When Jesus teaches, he really never answers your question, but he gives you a life lesson, and sometimes we miss it. Watch what Jesus says here. Notice they say it. They said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Look at verse 18. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Jesus, what they got to do? We just taught, man, did you not hear what we saying? They subject to us, man. We got it going on. I seen Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Do y'all know what that means? Jesus said at one time, even Satan was good. Y'all don't catch that, did you? At one time. At one time, Satan was good. At one time. I know the Bible said that he sinned from the beginning, but you got to understand what that means. But at one time, Satan was on the right path. Amen. Until his eyes started catching things that didn't belong to him, that he started desiring. But Jesus telling them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Jesus, why do you put that right there? Watch what he said in the next verse, family. He says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, all over the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is recorded in heaven. Wait a minute. I thought we got to ask 81 but 10 folks. So I guess having your name recorded in heaven was what they wanted. Because obviously they're not there when we get to Acts chapter 10. So when you come down here and obey the gospel, what are you coming for? When Brother Tommy taught the gospel to you, told you that you're going to put on a new creature, you put on that new creature, what are you still coming for? What is your purpose now? Don't rejoice because you got excited over a sermon. Don't rejoice because things are going good in my life and I got a promotion. But rejoice if your name is written in heaven. And if you're leaving the work for a few to do, is it actually going to be there? If you're leaving the work for a few to do, is it actually going to be there? Amen. Jesus said, let me tell you something to get excited about when your name is written in heaven. Here is 70 men or 72 men who had the opportunity to have their name written in heaven. But let's see what happened. Amen. He says, at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. He says that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Now, when you look at this, I'm going to stop for a second and give you all some points here. These 70 or 72 men, plus the apostles, they witnessed Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They witnessed Jesus walk on water. They witnessed Jesus calm a storm. They witnessed Jesus feed 5,000 and 4,000. They witnessed Jesus raise Jairus' daughter. Amen. They witnessed Jesus heal a man that was they broke a roof and sent him down. Yeah. They witnessed Jesus give a blind man sight. The blind man's story, Brother Tommy, is my favorite story in the Bible. You all know why? Because when the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the blind man, they say, how you receive your sight? He tells them. They leave, they come back and ask him again. He said, I've already told you one time. Do you want to be his disciple too? But watch what he breaks down to him. He said, you ain't even ever heard of a time that a man was born blind and received his sight from birth. He said, you ain't even heard that before. I mean, there was a lot of tales going on back then. They had a lot of stories. He said, you haven't even heard of a story like this, and you don't know who he is? They witnessed that. The apostles witnessed that. Look at John 6. Let's look at John 6. Amen. In John, the chapter is 6, verse number 60. John 6 and verse number 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? Some of us stop following God. Some of us stop working because the word caused us to stumble. When the brother come and get on me because I'm not being faithful, I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to do, I get upset with him instead of getting upset with myself for being unfaithful. Instead of doing what I'm supposed to do, I just sit down even further. I'm going to show him. I tell folks, you ain't quitting on me. You quitting on God. The last person I want to resign with is God. The last person I want to give my resignation is God. Did y'all catch that? See, some of us are handing out resignation to the wrong individual when you should be working. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, then you need to be a doulos. You need to be a slave. You need to be a slave. But there's too many of us, we're trying to get our own benefits of what we think is great, what we think is good. And therefore, when it don't go the way we want it to go, we stop working. We stopped coming, and we eased to the back of the door anyway. We were sitting up here, now we're sitting back there. Amen. And I know how church folks is about our seats. We want that seat that I sit in. So once he changed or she changed that seat, it's something wrong. Amen. And if they move to the back, they easing on out the door. Tommy got one more thing to preach on. I don't like it. I'm out of here. And won't show back up next Sunday, I bet you. Amen. Watch what the Bible says. He says, but it says, what then if the Son of Man ascend to where you was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And as he was saying this, for this reason, I have said to you that no one come to me unless it has been granted him by the Father. If my Father don't draw you through the words, you are not going to come to me. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Wait a minute. You came back skipping, talking about how the demons were subject to you in his name. And now he give you a hard statement that you don't like, and you turn from following him? What sense does that make? That's what we do in the church. Some folks, I'm going to go back to denominationalism. I go home and stay first. Me too. Amen. I'm going home and stay first. I ain't going to waste a Sunday if I ain't going to come and spend a Sunday. Y'all don't understand that, do you? Y'all don't understand that, do you? See, let me tell you what I'm talking about, young people. John says in 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. If any come to your door and bring not this doctrine, do not let him in your home, nor bid him Godspeed. You might as well stay home if you ain't going to come to the one church. If you ain't going to come where Jesus is, you might as well stay home. Amen. Because John said, Jesus says in John chapter 4, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, wait a minute. You got to have some of me in you for me to recognize you. Did y'all catch that? You got to have some of me in you for me to recognize you. That's what Jesus is talking about. God is a spirit. See, what it says, when you are baptized, you receive the gift of the Spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to be his worshipers. He ain't seeking for everybody. I don't care how full the building is. I don't care how many holy hands they holding up. If Jesus ain't there, it ain't holy. It's just a religious scene. Amen. When you look at this, the Bible says here, Peter says to Jesus, when Jesus asked him, will you also go? Peter said, where can we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. A lot of time people give credit to Peter. I mean, that's a strong statement, Peter. Peter spoke a lot of time without belief himself. Amen. How do you know, Brother Sean? When you look at the gospel accounts, especially here in John, and then when you go, we quote this all the time, John 14 and 6, amen, where Jesus says, watch this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's not the scripture I want y'all to get, though. I want you to go up to verse number 36 of John chapter 13. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you right now? I will lay my life down for you. The next two scenes, Peter run off from Jesus. Wait a minute now. I thought you just said, where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So a lot of times we're good at speaking it, but we ain't good at showing it. Amen. See, we can say, oh, how I love Jesus. But our lifestyle shows us if we actually love Jesus. And Peter's just said, man, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Amen. By the time you get to chapter 17, Peter telling folks, I don't know. When you get to chapter 18, I don't know him. But you just said a few scenes ago, Peter, you will lay your life down for me. You even said in an earlier scene, wait a minute, where can we go? See, how is it that we can make those type of statements and yet depart from God? How is it that we in the church can make those type of statements and depart from God? How is that possible? But we do it every day. We do it every day. There's a great task, and we push it into the hands of a small group. We push it into a hand of a small group. Young people, you look at how many of us have children. How many of us leave our children at home? They don't want to come to worship. They don't want to do whatever. We're leaving it in the hands of a small task. This is our now, not our later. This is our now. Because, see, they're looking now. They're determining now, am I going to stay in the church? They're determining now. I know, because that's how I was when I was young. I was determining as I was sitting there, I'm getting up out of here. Man, all these hypocrites, all this arguing and fussing, as soon as I can get away from grandmama, I'm leaving this here. And I'm telling you, you got a great task ahead of you. That you can't let things slide through the crack, not even our young people. Amen. You need to wake them up. You need to make them pay attention. Because, listen, they sit at home and play the game all day. But they get here, they got to lay in mama, laugh. No, man. I had a grandmother had a cane. But you be leaning over like this, she'd put that cane and snatch you back. Oh, I'm dead serious. And back then, they didn't play. Worship was serious. I seen a preacher whoop all his kids. I still don't know what they done to this day. I ain't hear nothing. They wasn't making no racket. But after service, man, he wore them out. Because they taught there was a certain type of reverence that you brought when you came to God. We don't have that reverence anymore. It's a great task for a small group of people that love the Lord, that reverence him and reverence his word, and want to keep that work going because of what God has done for them in their life. What about you? What about you? When you look at this, as I'm preparing to close us out here, when you look at them leaving, I'm going to go back to John chapter 2. What I love about John chapter 2, my brother, is that you see the personality of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 2. And it's exciting because in John chapter 2, the Holy Spirit allows us to see something before it happens. John chapter 2, amen. The Holy Spirit allows us to see something before it happens. He tells you the end of the story in John chapter 2. Amen. Watch what he says here. I think this was one of the questions, one of our, taboo questions yesterday. What was Jesus doing in the temple? Amen. We remember that yesterday? Well, listen what he says here. The Bible says, verse 18, John chapter 2, the Jews then said to him, "What sign do you do to show us your authority for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews answered and said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had spoken. Did y'all catch that? They just told the end of the story. When did his disciples believe? After they saw Jesus come out the grave. It just wasn't Thomas. Thomas just said it. "I ain't gonna believe till I see the holes in his hand." But it was all of them. That's what the scripture says. That they remembered, this is what Jesus is talking about. Ain't that something? Then they believed. So you mean to tell me, Brother Tom, you came and you was in Canaan for the marriage feast. You saw that. You saw him walk on water. Walking on water would have did it for me. That's it. And come in that storm, oh, I'm going wherever you go. Where thou go, I will follow. I would have been right with him. Amen? That's it. He didn't have to do nothing else. I see Jesus walking on water. Oh, I ain't asking like Peter to come out there. That's good enough for me seeing you. I don't need to try. Amen? I don't need to try. Hello? But all that was good enough for me. Do you realize, listen, that you all have greater faith than the apostles did? I asked the congregation there. They said, "No, we didn't have greater faith than the apostles. Apostles had greater faith." Jesus told Thomas, you believe because you see, but blessed are those who believe and do not see. That's us. We got some great faith. Let's use it. We got some great faith. Let's use it. Don't put it on the shelf. I'm going to use mine. I believe that Jesus will do. That's why I came down here and I obeyed that gospel. Because I believe that my Savior has the power to cleanse me from my sins, keep me cleansed, and I'm going to do that task whether I have to do it by myself. I'm going to work that task that Jesus has put before me. I'm not going to throw it away. You all, will you work the task that Jesus has given to you? Or are you going to be like the five virgins who was foolish, who's going to wait till the last minute and jump up and holler, "Brother Sean, can I borrow some of your oil?" Nope. That's the day you're going to see me be selfish. Nope. No, notice what I said, blessed to give. Not that day. Nope. Hope my wife is ready. Nope. I ain't going to know nobody but me till I get in. "Hey, Brother Sean, I don't know him, Jesus. Trying to get in here first. Once I get in, hey, tell me what's going on, brother. We made it." Amen. But today it's going to be all about me at that time because I'm going to use my talent. Jesus won't get to tell me, "Why did you push this task off on my other brothers and sisters when I gave you an ability to help them?" The those excuses won't fly then. He won't get a chance to say that to me because I'm using every talent that he give me. Even if I don't want to use it, I'm using them. Amen. Yes, it get tough sometimes, especially as a preacher, because everybody looking at you, I got to be perfect. Everybody else can lie, cheat, do whatever. I say one thing wrong. Told you he wasn't spiritual. Told you he wasn't spiritual. Told you he wasn't. Waiting for him to do something wrong. Amen. Knew he was going to say that. I tell folks, Tommy, we human. I try to be spiritual every day. You just got to catch me on the good days. Amen. You just can't come at me any day. I'm human. Amen. I will. Listen, sometimes I have to repent. But I'm going to be honest about me. But I'm not going to throw the task off on you. My half brothers get mad. I ain't doing this no more. Brother, I'm going to put this back in your hands. They don't worry about how much a strain I'm under. They don't worry about those things. I say, fine, brother. But here's what I tell them every time they give me something, Brother Tommy. I want you to know that you on notice. Oh, no, I ain't putting you on notice. God putting you on notice. I just want you to know that. I said, now, I want you from this day forward, all the hardship you about to go through, you look back at this day. I want you to do that. Y'all catch that? When you start going through your hardship, I want you to look at the day that you quit on God and gave this back to his manservant. Because he'll give you the authority to give something back that's been given to you. We ain't that grown. We ain't that grown. Because we're servants of God. So if a task been given to you, that means God wanted that task delegated down to you. That means you ought to do that task. And did you go to God about giving this task back? No, because we know we were going to say no. Amen. We know that he's going to say no. You all stop leaving our brothers and sisters hanging. They're about to burn out. They're trying their best to do the work and keep the work going. And everybody else walks in here like we got magical fairies that change light bulbs. Magical fairies that vacuum up in here and clean the baptism pool. I know you ain't the building and ground servant or minister. That don't mean you can't help. That don't mean you can't buy a light bulb. That don't mean you can't buy a battery for the clock. How many of us get here time enough to say, what can I do? And who may need a ride? See, that's a great task. Jesus said, man, the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. There's some folks that want to come to Christ. See, but the reason we can't get them here, we ain't ready for them. I tell Tyler Town all the time, you ain't ready for them. We still bickering in-house. God ain't finna let nobody come up in here small as we is. The town ain't but that big. One word, get out the whole church ruined. Amen. He ain't finna let someone come up in here. You got to get the inside right. And I'm asking you all, how many of us going to get to work? And don't give up on God. You may not agree with everything the preacher say, and you're not going to agree with everything the preacher say. Because number one, it took my brother how many years to get to where he is. So some things you just don't see. I don't even try to make my brothers and sisters see some things. Because of what I've been through, they don't see what I see. I just pray for them. Listen. No bleach, no blige. Nobility obligates. If you are of noble character, or you say that you are of a high echelon, that makes you become a servant to others. So if you got it down, you should be serving others, not pushing them away. Amen? Amen? That's a French word. That's what that means. It means nobility obligates. God gave you a talent, and it obligates you to serve others. Go back and read 1 Peter 4 and 11. Read the second part of that where he said he gave you the strength to work the work that he wants you to provide. It obligates you. It don't obligate you to run the mouth. It obligates you to say, I need to get to work and help out. This lesson is yours. Amen. Jesus told the apostles, he said, listen, I'm going to put this task in your hand in Mark 16, 15 and 16. He said, I want you to go out to all the world, and I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, that word believe comes from a Greek word, pistuo. It means to entrust your soul to God. It's not just believing that there is a God, but it's entrusting in the system that Christ created. Because, see, Nicodemus was the first man that didn't believe baptism saved. He said, how can these things be? Jesus says, no one ascended into the heaven or descended from heaven but the Son of Man. And you don't believe my report. If I would have given you, how can I give you heavenly things when you don't understand earthly things? You all study Numbers 21 and 6, I mean 5 through 9, because Jesus gives Nicodemus a history lesson. He said, just like Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, also the Son of Man got to be raised up. See, when Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, the children of Israel were murmuring against God and Moses. God sent fiery serpents. The children of Israel said, look here, Moses, we sorry. Won't you go talk for us and tell God we sorry for what we said between you, about you and him, and get him to remove these serpents. Let me tell you how God worked. God didn't remove the serpents. He could have. God said, no. Y'all like false idols. Y'all like serving false gods. He said, make a bronze serpent. Put it on a standard. Everybody that's bitten, when you look at it, you'll live. Say what? Moses, you sure? He said, when we get bit, we look at that stick. We look at that stick. Now, that's what he said. Now, you have these people, Brother Tommy, that say, what if the baptism is broke? What if you in the desert? What if you stuck on the highway? The Bible said that if they was bitten, they had to look at that serpent. What if they was out there on the ship fishing and pulled in the fish with the net and a snake came out and hit them? And they couldn't see the standard. And they couldn't see the bronze serpent. Could they say, God, know my heart? And live? That ain't what the books say. What if they was down in the valley with the sheep? And they was bitten, and it took them about 2 hours to get back, but they didn't have 30 minutes. Could they say, God, know my heart and live? No. Jesus tells Nicodemus, just like they had to believe Moses, you got to believe me when I'm lifted up. Because you're going to think I failed, but really I'm going to win because I'm going to take the sting of death. And whoever believeth in me will not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. That's verse 15 of John 3. John 16, he says, for God so loved the world, but he told him first in verse 15. Amen. You got to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be willing to, that term call, some people call, using Romans 10, 9 and 10, that's an invoking. That means that I'm going to do what you said do based on your authority and instruction. When I come back, I show you call in the Old Testament. You all can look at it for just in case the Lord don't let me come back. In Joel chapter 2, verse 32, the term call was prophesied. And it was prophesied how they was going to call. On the day of Pentecost, they actually called. Because Peter quoted the story of Joel. Will you come? If you're a child of God and you haven't been faithful, this is your opportunity to repent of sins. And say, I'm going to be part of this work and I'm not going to give up. Why don't you come as we stand and sing the Savior's invitation?